Today's reading are both actually from the New Testament. The first reading is from Luke. It's found on page 84 of your Bibles or on the yellow insert. Chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, today, and you will be with me in paradise." The second reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19, and it's found on page 114 of the Pew Bible. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by your own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by his name, by faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
This is Christ the King Sunday in the church year, which begs the question, as far as I'm concerned, what kind of king are we dealing with? Where is the evidence of kingship that we claim for him? Where is the regal palace that he was born into? Where are the state visits from other heads of state? Where are the vast wealth and land holdings that all kings and queens worth their salt have? As C.S. Lewis puts it in his book, Mere Christianity, "You must make your choice when it comes to Jesus. Either this man was and is the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, or else he was a lunatic on par with a man who says he is a poached egg." And yet we look to the world, and when we see the world, it is far from anything approaching what would be called the kingdom of heaven. And we're left to wonder, have we all been suckered? The nation of Israel, the nation God chooses to be the hope of the world, becomes the stooge of the world. The nation of priests in the Bible becomes a nation of international politicians, so inept at playing one major power off against another, but time they're through. Egypt, Assyria, Babylonia, Persia, and Rome will have all had a chance to deport them into exile, destroy their temple and their holy city. The laws of Moses will in time become the legalism of the Pharisees, and the question, can mortals be righteous before God, becomes, is it kosher to wear dentures on the Sabbath? The high priests sell out to the armies of occupation, whoever they may be. The holy city turns into Miami Beach. Even God is fed up with his people. Nobody knows any of this better than the Jews themselves. Who else as a wall dedicated to wailing. But the Jews went on hoping anyway. Nothing stops hope. And beginning several centuries before the birth of Jesus, much of their hope took the form of implausible dreams that someday God would send somebody to make everything right. He was referred to as the Messiah, which means the anointed one. That is, the one anointed by God, as a king is anointed at his coronation, only Jesus for a much bigger task, Lord of all life. Just how and when his messiahship, aka the Christ, would come was up for debate. Theories as to what he would be like multiplied and overlapped. Some thought he'd be a great warrior king like David. Others thought he'd be a great priest like the Melchizedek of the past, or a great prophet like Elijah. No one really was sure what to look for, but they knew it would be in some fashion along those lines. But what and whoever he is, his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of the peace there would be no end. That was the vision. So compelling was it that Handel put it to music. And on Passover Eve to this very day, an extra cup is placed right on the table for Elijah in case he decides to stop in to say the Messiah has arrived at last. The door always remains open for him. So when Jesus of Nazareth came riding into Jerusalem on a mule, a small group of radicals, illiterates, fishermen, and ne'er-do-wells hailed him as the Messiah, as the Christ, the King of Kings. And everybody else said, you might want to look elsewhere. You might want to check out somebody else, say Barabbas. And that's what they advised Pilate, saying, you better hold as public and unpleasant an execution as possible so that everybody will get the point not to do what this guy did. After all, we have to draw a line somewhere, don't we? He wasn't a king. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He was a nobody from nowhere. Can any good come from Nazareth? He spoke with an accent, not like the folks from Jerusalem. His attitude toward the laws that everybody else had to obey were cavalier at best. He said that it wasn't what went into the mouth that mattered, but what came out of us. Thus setting back the kosher industry and all the workers employed by the kosher industry for centuries. On the other hand, he not only went further than Moses, but claimed his own to be the higher authority than Moses's. Moses was against murder. Jesus was against vindictive anger. Moses was against adultery. Jesus was against recreational sex. Moses said, love your neighbor. Jesus said, love your enemy too. Moses said, be good. Jesus said, be perfect. Who do you think he was anyway? Who can be perfect? Nobody can be perfect. Who even wants to be perfect? He was a threat to the established church and to the establishment itself. Jewish orthodoxy and the Pax Romana were both threatened by this itinerant nobody out of Nazareth. His fans attributed a great many miracles to him, and including bringing back a corpse. But there was one miracle he couldn't pull off, and that was saving his own skin. Couldn't do that one. He died just as dead as anybody else who had ever been hung on a cross that day. But his fans, they wouldn't let go of this notion. He continues to be alive, they said. They ascribe a great many miracles to him, including his own resurrection. But the world is as just about as bad a place and as bad a shape as it always has been, maybe even worse. As far as I know, there is only one good reason for believing that he is who he said he was. One of the crooks that he was hanging next to put it this way: if you are the Christ, save yourself and save us. Save us from whatever needs to be saved from most. Save us from each other, frankly. Save us from our violence that is without end. Save us from ourselves and our self-indulgence and our addictive behaviors and our self-centeredness. Save us from death, both beyond the grave and in the place that we're in today. If he says who he says he is, he can do these things. If he truly is the Christ, if he truly is King of Kings, then he can do this stuff. If he isn't, then he can't. And maybe the only way we're ever going to be convinced, any of us, is to find out if he's who he says he is by giving him a chance. Whatever that involves, it may be just as simple as taking that first step out into the unknown to find out everything that surrounds the mystery of who he is. Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Son of God, or lunatic. It's up to you. You have to make the choice. Amen.